The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then shall you know that I am the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you as one congregation, one people, gathered together under your name. Help us, Lord, as we strive to know the truth of this text and its application to each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, as we strive to walk in a way worthy of this great calling that we have received, and help us, Lord, to stay encouraged, to first of all get on this road. Some may be here today who have not yet started this journey. Help them, Lord, move them, Lord, to make a decision for you. And then there are many of us who've been traveling for many years, and yet, Lord, we sometimes grow weary. Sometimes the circumstances of life may weigh us down and may even block us from being able to fully see you. Help us, Lord, to be able to see you. Help us to see the direction. Help us to find the way and help us to stay in that way until you come back, Lord, to take us home eternally to be with you. Father, we pray for those that are mourning right now. We pray for the Adair family, and we ask, dear Lord, that you would give them great comfort and comfort this congregation. We thank you for the contributions he's made. We're able to stand here today because of many contributions that he made in this very congregation. And we just pray that you might be with his wife and his children and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you might be with them all as they grieve his loss. Help us, Lord, once again, as we come together to see you and to see your word clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, someone came to me and said, what was the point? What was point number four or something like that? I said, I don't even remember point four. So I decided to give you the 5 points right up front. Right up front. If you are a note taker, this is for you. I been thinking a lot about revival and restoration. I might as well put it out there. I've been a little spiritual. And so I think this not only is this message for you, run under his fires to shield us and to shelter us. He's a shelter in the time of storm. He desires, you know, I'm thinking about God's providence, God's understanding where he is and giving him what he needs. And we're thankful we have a God that's like that. Doesn't want us to just wither up and die, but desires that we should have full fellowship with him, a vibrant relationship with him. Talk about Thomas and Tamitha, the lead into this. They were on a road trip through a remote desert region in Utah, Nevada area. They were experienced, and yet, as they were, you know, they were experienced hikers, and they put out their little marks and all those type of things. And all of them, the sandstorm came and everything where they marked how to be able to get back and out of this region, all the markers were gone. Their very vehicle, gone. And so now with few supplies, with no direction back to their own vehicle, they were out there in that storm drying up. Water, resources, all their resources were dwindling. With no immediate help in sight, they had to rely on their wits and the survival skills they had to stay alive. During the day, they sought shade and they tried to stay cool as the desert temperatures were scorching. I think many of us this past week can understand where they were. At night, the desert became bitterly cold and they used whatever they could in order to be able to stay warm. They attempted to signal by creating large SOS signs in the sand and using reflective surfaces to catch the attention of passing aircraft. And as the days passed, they faced psychological challenges as well, the uncertainty that they would even be found alive. They managed to catch a small desert creature for food, learning to adapt and survive in this hostile environment. But yet they still remained hopeful. They weren't ready to just throw the hands up in the air and quit. Instead, they continued fighting on and remaining hopeful and keeping a positive outlook, believing that eventually someone would come to their aid. And after several days of hardship, a group of off-road adventurers discovered them and provided them the much-needed assistance. They were grateful to be rescued and learned the valuable lessons about the importance of preparation and caution in the desert environments. I wonder how many of us can see the spiritual in this story, see ourselves in this story. And here we are, and sometimes we think we know the direction, we think we know the layout, we think we're skilled and able and all of that, and yet we find ourselves in a situation where things are drying up around us. And yet we just continue to try to do our very best with what we've got. You know, look at the cards that have been dealt and try to do the very best that we can. And yet sometimes it just looks like everything is drying up around us. But yet the one key thing that enabled them to get past this desert experience was this word called hope. They had hope. They had hope that someone would find them. Someone would recognize that they were lost. Someone would send someone out to go help them. And here's where we are. Now, today, I'm really speaking to those of us who are in Christ. Right? This message is for everyone, but it's especially important for those of us who are in Christ already, who have been made that decision for him, have been walking with him. And I tell you all oftentimes that the road to glory, the road to heaven is a roller coaster. It's full of ups and downs and ebbs and flows. There are times of high, you know, of glory, and then there are times that you're sitting there in that valley. That's what it is. Live long enough and you'll see the patterns. And when you're on that mountain, enjoy it. But recognize that very soon you could be also in the valley. And that neither really tells you the full story about God's love. God is loving you on the mountaintop. God is loving you in the valley. God's love does not change. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. You're with me even in the darkest of valleys. God is still right there. Valley of dry bones, if you know anything about it. You recognize that God's people had now been brought into exile, and their hope, many of their hope was just vanished. First of all, God told them right from the beginning this was going to be limited by time, 70 years, right? So there's hope. If you know that it's capped, the time is capped, and you truly believe God, then you understand that there's hope beyond that circumstance. But for many of them, even they couldn't see that far ahead. They couldn't see what God was doing. Just like us, sometimes we can't see heaven. We talk about heaven, 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 but we're living right here on what's real and right now all around us. We're living with bills. Amen. I think bills are from the devil. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. But we're living right here in the here and now. And oftentimes we forget to look beyond into the over yonder. So what can help us? I already gave you the point, so I don't have to surprise them on you. First of all, it's acknowledging our spiritual dryness. In the Valley of Dry Bones, it represents the spiritual state of Israel that many of us might find ourselves in also, distant from God, burdened by the challenges of life. And it's essential that we recognize and we admit where we are first and foremost. See, I don't mind sharing, hey, I'm in this spiritual funk. I'm calling around. I'm talking to people and all of that. And I'll share with you a few things in a moment. But the first step of anything, of changing where you are and moving to greater heights is first acknowledging where you are right now. And that's where we are. Are we as vibrant in our relationship with God as we were when we first? No, let's just be honest. I mean, that newness and that excitement of anything, of course, at some point that's going to wane, right? You start anything, you start a new job, and you're excited to go in there and do all these things, and yet at some point you get to the point where, all right, I understand the job, and now coast, or it doesn't have that same excitement that it did at the very beginning, right? Is that normal? Yeah, it's normal. But then we also have to recognize that place, because we want vibrancy in our life. We have to feed certain things in order to get more vibrancy in anything that we do. Think about your relationships, husband and wife. After 20 years, Crystal and I don't have the same type of vibrancy we had at the very beginning. All right, I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I think y'all heard it. Y'all already saw the wheels turning. I'm good. But it's normal, you know. You have your ups and downs in every relationship, anything that you do, you're going to have that. But the important thing is to realize that, hey, that's where we are. And if you realize that's where you are, you can do something different. You can add, you can do some things. Psalm 42:2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Here, the Psalms are saying, look, I am so thirsty, but it's not just for the stuff around me, it's for you, Lord. Then surrender to God's sovereignty. Yeah, as soon as you hear that word surrender, yes. God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? These bones that represented the dryness and staleness of Israel, can they live? Can you resuscitate? I mean, think about a dry bone. Bone out there in the desert, you know. There's some bones. I don't know if y'all do this, but I don't mind eating a little marrow. Uh-huh. Okay, some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. Some of y'all understand, you know. Especially that chicken real good. Uh-huh. You get to that end and there's some meat. There's some moisture in that bone. All right. There's some marrow in that bone. Bone marrow. And it's good and it tastes good. All right. Just not too much of it. All right. But a dry bone? I mean, a dry bone, you throw that to a dog will look at it and go, nah, nothing. That's the state of Israel that he's looking at. They're dried up. Their hope is lost. And he's looking at Israel like this, and a lot of times when we see something dwindling, this is, well, I guess it's just dead. Put a fork in it, it's over. God is trying to show Ezekiel something, God's people something. And while it looks dead, there's still life in it. You know, there was a plant that we received, and I think it was my dad gave it to us, and the thing looked like it was dried up and dying, and we just started watering it, and we just started watering it, and we just started watering it, and guess what? Life started coming back to something that looked like it was dead. God asked Ezekiel whether these bones could live, and he responds, "Oh Lord, you know." This acknowledges that, look, our view isn't the same as God's view. Our thoughts are not the same as God's thoughts. Our way of looking at things is not the way God looks at things. We look at it, it's dead, it's done, close the door, let's move on to the next chapter. And God says, no, there's still life there. We can breathe life into something that is not what he did at the very beginning. Here's Adam, he formed this man and took the dust of the earth and formed man out of it. And then it says he came and he breathed the ruah, the spirit of life into him. And this that was dead now comes to life. That's, I don't know, but that's the kind of God I serve. A God that gives life, creates life, and even restores life. Third, need to find hope and renewal in God's word. And this is where I say, ouch. This is where I say, ouch. I'm in the Bible all the time. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've got to teach Bible classes. I'm still going to school. I got, Lord willing, I got one more semester for my master's degree. So I'm in it. But I'm not in it. I've been in it, but I've not been in it. I read it, but I read it for an end goal, preparing a sermon, preparing a Bible class. And yeah, I'm going to get stuff from that. Of course, you get stuff from that. But I've forgotten to take time to listen to God for myself, to feed me. And I just imagine that if your preacher is in that place or gets in that place sometimes, this ain't the first time, maybe, just maybe, some of us have gotten to that same place. Maybe, just maybe, some of us are in that place right now. There's hope, though. See, this is the beauty about having something dead. You know, when I was giving a story about the plant that came back to life, it needed something. It needed water. And the life that water gives. The psalmist in Psalm 42, he was thirsty for God. I'm thirsty for God. I'm thirsty for God. I'm thirsty for a real experience with God. Not just the casual, not just the going through the motions. None of us just want that, do we? Do we? No. We want a vibrant relationship with the Lord. But it starts, once again, acknowledging where I'm at, acknowledging that there's dryness. We can speak to it. You can share it with others and gain help because of it. Look, we're a community, aren't we? We're a community of one another. We ought to share our burdens with one another. We ought to carry each other's burdens. And so I don't mind being right up in the pulpit and saying exactly where I am. And I hope that you don't mind sharing where you are, because that's how we get help. Ezekiel's words brought life to these bones. He was told, prophesy to bones. You know what that means? Speak the word to these bones. And I wonder what Ezekiel was thinking. What do you mean, prophesy to these bones, dead bones? And then I looked in the mirror, and I saw a dead bone in the mirror. Then I look at our congregations, and I see dead bones in the congregation. Then we look at our society, and we see dead bones in society. Then we look at this world, and we see dead bones in this world. And the only thing that this word is saying that's going to give life to them again is prophesy. Bring the word. Preach the word. Teach the word. Get in the word. Embrace the word. There's life in the word. Now, it's amazing how many times all you need sometimes is a word. Maybe it's a word from your neighbor. Maybe it's a word from the Bible teacher. Maybe it's a word from the preacher. Maybe it's get some word. God's word. I'm not just talking about any word now. God's word that your neighbor's giving you. Make sure we're talking about, we're thinking right, okay? But get God's word in you. I've shared with you so many times. I remember when I was in corporate world and before I would enter into work, I'm in the car getting juiced up, all right? Juiced up on God's word. Let me make sure I fix that right, all right? Somebody's mind, what? Somebody was sleeping, woke up, like, huh, what are you talking about? I mean, kind of getting into that the Spirit of God, getting listening to the Word of God, because you understand that, you know, I'm walking into a hostile environment. I'm walking amongst people who don't believe the same thing I believe and don't share the same beliefs and all these type of things. And we just kind of need to get our, what does the Bible say, get girded up. Gird it up in the, all right, let me. But that word has an effect on us that allows us and just gives us a little bit more energy to continue moving forward, to give us a different perspective. And that's the key thing there. The word of God is going to give us a different perspective. Look at Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active as opposed to dead and inactive. It's living and active. These aren't dead words. These aren't just words on a piece of paper. Living word, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirits and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's how powerful God's word is, to get in deep and to cut deep. To get into those the hardness and callousness that sometimes we have in our hearts, that as you open the word of God, it's going to force you to look at yourself, and it's going to force you to see God. To see his love, to see his expectations, to see even his punishment and his judgment. See, we can't leave any of that off the table. His love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his judgment, all of that. Then we look at ourselves. And the more I look into God's word, the more I recognize I need him. Just a closer walk with thee. God's desire, his desire is to breathe life into us, just like he breathe life into us when into Adam. He desires to breathe life into us. When we go into that watery grave of baptism, what do we receive? We receive the very Spirit of God to indwell the believer. He desires that. And then he desires that we don't forsake him. We don't go a different path, that we stay united with him. And at times where we become weary, at times where we're like that sheep that goes astray, just like Jesus gave this example, he leaves in order to go out and follow this lost sheep. He desires us to be safe and in his fold. He desires to breathe his Spirit into us. In Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Something important there. God's going to give us. He's going to give us. He's going to give. He's going to put in us. But just because we have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us does not mean that we're going to follow the Spirit's leading. The Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That we can act in such a way that God the Father looks down on us and mm, 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 mm. Look at the back end of this. Be careful to obey my rules. Hold on, you're talking about people that have your spirit and you're still telling them? Yeah, I mean, because some people think it's just a magical thing. All of a sudden now we receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit dwells within us, and now I'm just going to act right, think right, do right, be right at all times. Baloney. Oscar Mayer brand. All right? No. You've got to continue to obey. You've got to continue to follow. And even when you get knocked down, and it's going to happen, and it happens, and it happens often, you keep living 40 years as a Christian, you know, ups, downs, and yet, but when you're down, you recognize, I got to get up and get back on that path once again, Lord. I got to get back up and follow after you. I need a refresher. I need renewal, but I'm staying on this path with you, Lord. And it starts with obedience to God, recognizing I want to follow your will, Lord. And then lastly, embrace unity and community. You know, the bones coming together as a vast army signifies this importance of unity and community. This restoration often happens in the context of healthy relationships and supportive communities. Engaging with like-minded faith community can contribute to our spiritual rejuvenation. In other words, we need one another. I look at Acts chapter 2, and you start thinking about the Christians and that made this decision for Jesus Christ. And you'll see at the very end, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, the fellowship and prayers. They understood. They were even started selling properties and so that everyone else had and that no one had lack, and making sure that others were tended, cared for. And if you understand the context of everything that was happening, for many of them, their families were disowning them. You're a Jew. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christ follower. And you say, well, I have decided to follow Jesus, and started following Jesus. And then family said, well, No. You're done. We're done with you. You're out. But the community says, we love you. We embrace you. We support you. We're going to help you. When it looked like things were drying up, what gave them strength? Community. The church. The body of Christ. Helping each other where it hurts. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says two are better than one because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, has not another to lift him up. Now I want to add to this, because when we read scripture like this, we often put ourselves in the person who's fallen and needs to help up. But I also want you to see the opposite side, that you're going to need someone who's willing to step down and pull you up. And I found that that's usually a lot harder to find than the person who's fallen and needs a hand up. Lord, help us to be those that see and look out amongst us and recognize those that are weak and fallen down, and that we might help with a helping hand to pick them up, to help them get back on the way. Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, Lord, help us. This walk with you to eternity is filled with so many different obstacles, so many different challenges along the way. We pray, dear Lord, that you might help us to see you clearly and help us to see that path and help us exactly to see where we are. Give us, Lord, the resources to help us move from where we are to where we need to be, where you know we need to be, Lord. Help us to take off the masks that we need to take off. Stop pretending like everything is always okay. To reach out for help. And also to be one that is willing to help. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we just pray that you would revive us. Give us, Lord, a newness, a new spirit. As David said, create me, Lord, is a new, a right spirit. Cleanse our hearts, Lord. Help us to see you. Help us to draw nearer to you. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us, dear Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you know you need to surrender. This is for everyone. This isn't just for people who haven't yet made a decision to be baptized. You know you need to surrender this morning. Maybe there's someone here ready to surrender in baptism this morning. Recognizing, look, we can't do this alone. Listen, we could never do it alone. We didn't get it. Come in here alone. Come into this world alone. You're not going to exit out of here alone. And so all along the way, we need God. Not only do we just need God, a deep relationship with him. But it starts first with making a decision and getting on that road, making a decision for Christ. Maybe there's someone here today ready to make that decision, recognizing Christ came, he died, he was buried, he rose on the third day. And ready today for you to die to your sins, to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. And as if God's word is true, he tells us that we will rise to walk in newness of life. He recreates, remakes us, and he restores us. Jesus comes by what he did and restores us to fellowship with the Father. Maybe you're here today and you're ready for that. Won't you come and surrender to Jesus today? Won't you come in baptism today? If you're ready to come, won't you come right now?